We are gathered here today in grief and sorrow to mourn the passing of Chonburi FC. Please take a few moments to reflect on all that has happened over the past few months. Hello and welcome to episode 49 of, is it 49 or 48? 49? 48? I'm not sure. I always get my nines and my eights mixed up. Anyway, it must be a Thai thing. Anyway, welcome along to the latest episode of a Thai football podcast with me, Dale Farrington.
And me, Rob Bernard.
How's it going, Rob?
Yeah, not so bad, mate. A blank week watching live stuff, just resigned to sport on TV, but very enjoyable it was. I watched three Thai games, along with plenty from England and some cricket.
Sounds a bit like my weekend, actually, front of the telly. Anyway, we've got a lot to get through this week. Now we're at the business end of the season, as we're obliged to call it. So I suppose we'd better start off by congratulating Buriram United on their 8th Premier League title win.
You'd think with all the money and the accountants at the availability that they'd know the difference between 8 and 9. 8 to Buriram United, 1 to Buriram PEA.
I think you said on Twitter it's history being rewritten. And my stock answer to that, if anybody says, oh no, it's 9, that counts as Buriram United, I'd just like to point out that that same season, 2011, is the one we're talking about, when Buriram PEA won the league title, the second tier champions were Buriram FC. Buriram United did not exist in 2011. They can't have won a title when they didn't exist. Glad I've got that off my chest. Congratulations to Buriram United on your 8th Thai Premier League title win. It's very impressive, but you're still too short of double figures.
Yeah, in all seriousness, it does need pointing out, but they're worthy winners, especially the form in the second half of the season.
Without a doubt, they were magnificent, weren't they? We've got to say that. It's a shame that the controversy last week kind of overshadowed it. And also, it's I always feel kind of deflated when teams win a league title without even playing a game, which was the case this week, wasn't it? It was Bangkok United's defeat at Police Terror on a night when Buriram United weren't even playing that clinched them the title. And I always feel that it must, you know, the fans must feel a little bit cheated when that happens.
Yeah, sure. I don't suppose the management will matter too much. And I have to say, what a performance that was from Police Terror.
That's the kind of form that would get them in the top four, which was my prediction.
Yeah, it's a strange carry-on, isn't it? Who knows what's going to happen there next season?
Do you have anything to add about the port controversy? Obviously, you were at the match and you sent in your report, and now you've had time to kind of think about it and you've probably seen the footage as well. Is there anything you want to add to what you were saying last week?
It's just a rank bad decision. It's obvious that Buriram do get a lot of decisions in the way, but I honestly think, I don't think there's anything more sinister at hand other than the fact that referees are not very good and they feel the pressure when they're reffing them. They'll obviously be thinking about who they're controlling and who's the boss of it. The game last night, Ratchaburi and Port, there was 2 penalties given in that game last night. If Buriram had been awarded either of them, there would have been absolute hell on. 1 to either side last night. There would have been hell on if Buriram had been awarded either of those.
Yeah, I think there's a lot in that, Rob. It's so easy, isn't it, just to drag up the old brown envelope cliche whenever a decision does go in Buriram United's favour. I'm not naive enough to think that doesn't go on. Now, I'm sure that at some level there will be. We know. I mean, there was that well-publicised incident in Australia during the week, wasn't there, about players betting on yellow cards. So I'm not foolish enough to believe that there isn't some underhand business going on occasions. But you're right. I think, you know, you do tend to forget the pressure that the referees are under. It must be so difficult being a Thai referee, especially when you've got this culture of banning them when they make a wrong decision or demoting them down to the semi-pro league or whatever. You know, whatever your job, if you're working under those conditions, it does add extra pressure and it feels like you don't have the support. I mean, I'm very lucky. The job I've got, my management are very supportive. And you know, if you make a mistake, it's usually a genuine error and they will back you. You know, and there are consequences to mistakes that I make, sometimes quite serious ones. But it's nice to know that they've got your back. And that isn't the case in Thai football. It seems to be, you know, you award a throw into the wrong side and 3 weeks later, you're banned from 6 months and then you've got to start your way up again from the Chonburi 8th division or whatever it is. So I do get that. I do understand it.
Yeah, I don't think it helps anyone just handing bans out. What we're going to remember, Dale, the top division of the Thai football gets a lot of coverage, a lot of spectators, a lot of watchers on TV, but it's about the standard of National League North in England.
And that doesn't come under anywhere near the same amount of scrutiny, does it? And I think that is a big problem. But steps are being taken. They've been having referee training courses recently. And it seems to be something that Madam Pang is particularly keen on. She seems to be driving this need for improving refereeing. And, you know, I've seen stories of young officials now being put through the paces. We've had a couple sent over to KL on AFC training courses. So it is going to take time, like everything else. But hopefully it's a big step in the right direction.
It does take a lot of time and a lot of investment. We've got to be patient with it. Look, it's not an easy job. I've refereed Sunday League friendlies, and it is a thankless task. And, you know, and I've played a lot of football. I know what goes on a pitch. And I think that's part of the problem. There's too many officials know the laws, but not the game. And incidentally, just going back to the brown envelope, if I can give a plug to our friend Steve Darby and his excellent book, The Itinerant Coach, there's plenty of stories about that going on in there.
I've heard a lot from Steve as well. So like I said, you know, we do appreciate it goes on, but probably not to the extent that certain online conspiracy theorists believe.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment.
Hi, my name is Anthony, and I'm listening to a Thai football podcast.
So what else has happened this week, dare I ask?
Well, yeah, not good for you guys, is it?
No, but it's been coming. I've been saying all along, and I know we're going to chat about this in a short while, so I'll keep my powder dry till then. But yeah, no surprise. I mean, I'm disappointed the way that it happened. I mean, if it had been 1 or 2 nil, that would have been fine, but 6 was just... You know, that was a towel being thrown in, wasn't it, from the top tier of Super Chalasai. The white flag went up very early on, which was, you know, like I said, disappointing. You know, I didn't want to go down that way.
It was one of those nights I watched it and they gave it everything. The free kick from the sending off, the keeper makes a world-class save. And it, as luck would have it, falls straight to a Mong Song player. I mean, I'll be surprised if the team bus got back without a puncture the way things went on Saturday.
Anyway, we've got an eyewitness report from that game. So we'll listen to that now and then move on very swiftly, I think.
Tied to Ball Podcast Match Reports. Saturday night, D-Day for Chonburi FC as they took on in-form Mung Tong United at the neutral National Stadium, where I went along for the first time, very centrally located, and thinking, why don't we play some more football games here? Well, more than 16 years ago, my Australian club Melbourne Victory took on Chonburi in the AFC Champions League, and in some twist of fate, I was there to see their relegation. It's a fall that some saw coming, but just over 3 months ago, I was in Chonburi to watch them in person against Buriram. While they put on a good performance that night, their squad deficiencies have borne out since. Onto the game itself, I'm sorry, Dale. It's a bit of a blur of goals. The Chonburi captain, Chalempong, was red carded in the 30th minute, very unhelpful. And at the stadium, I thought the keeper could have come out to sweep, but never mind. It was 1-0 shortly after, 1-0 at halftime, and a sense of inevitability of goals after that. Mung Tong put on 5 goals in the second half, and you could drive a bus through Chonburi at the end. It was sad to see that sort of disintegration, and they looked well and truly done, and Chonburi and their fans were put out of their misery with a 6-0 loss. A sort of predictable club statement was put out on Facebook by Chonburi today, and hinted at reviews, sort of, to set standards in T2 for a quick return to T1. Will it be weird seeing Chonburi in Thai League 2? Absolutely, but that's football.
Well, thanks for that, I guess I have to say. Fortunately, I wasn't watching it. I had something else on the telly. I couldn't bring myself to try and even find a feed on YouTube. So one game to go. And it's for the wooden spoon. I'm hoping, actually, they'll have a trophy next week because either us or Tratt are going to finish bottom. There's a lot riding on next weekend's game, isn't there? So it'd be nice to get a trophy, T1 wooden spoon trophy.
Now, I think it's about time that I ask you some questions about what's happened at Chonbury this season, if you don't mind. You've been insistent for quite some time that it was going to happen, but why do you think it's all gone wrong, Dale? Is it simply a case of the money running out or have the owners changed direction completely?
I've been saying for a long time that the club isn't what it was. We've not been able to compete at the top level for a number of years, and it's probably due to a lot of reasons, really. I mean, other clubs have come along with better infrastructure, organised better. They're able to attract the bigger players, the better players. They've got more money. So it was inevitable, really, when these clubs started springing up, that it would get harder and harder for a lot of clubs to compete. And Chonbury certainly fall into that category. I'm not going to go into the finances because there've always been rumours about where the money came from in the first place to fund the club. I'm not really going to go into that because I'm very aware that Ty was quite strict and don't want us to get dragged over the coals for it. But obviously something happened and that money dried up. There wasn't enough money coming in from sponsorship. The club have tried. I'll give them the credit. You know, the fact that Chang have stuck by them throughout this entire period is commendable. I can't see any reason why that will stop. The main thing that's happened is the focus has changed. As I've said, they kind of realised, apart from the odd little cup run, you know, obviously we got to the final in the COVID season, probably would have got to the final in 2016 and 2014. Obviously, we very nearly did the double, which it's quite incredible to think about that now. But I think the focus has changed. They've kind of realised that the way forward for the club is to bring on young players, give them experience and then sell them on. And this is what's going to happen. And I've got a feeling that a lot of the reasons behind the relegation is that these young players would be better off playing in the second tier where there isn't as much pressure. They'll get the experience playing and then they'll be transferred out and that money will just go back into the academy to produce new players. Now, it's just a theory based on what I've seen and what I've heard. I know one or two people who are quite close to it and they seem to believe that that's the case as well. And when you look at it in those terms, it does make perfect sense.
Have the owners considered selling to anyone else, richer investors?
I don't think they would. To be honest, Rob, it's a face thing, isn't it? I was instrumental in bringing an interested party to the table a few years ago. Someone who wanted to buy a Thai League club. Now, this person was from England. Money was no object. This is one of those cases where that phrase fits perfectly. Money was no object. He could have literally bought any Thai League club, probably a few English ones as well, if truth be told. I arranged for one of his representatives to attend a meeting with the Thai management, and he came away with very low opinions of what went on that day. And it was clear from that meeting that they weren't up for selling the club, even though the offer that was being made financially was fantastic. And it also gave them some element of control as well. So they weren't completely losing control of the club. The financial backing would have been tremendous. But throughout that meeting, apparently they were telling little fibs along the way. This guy had done his research. He knew exactly what he was dealing with. So there was no pulling the wool over his eyes. I think they thought he was quite naive, which certainly wasn't the case. And throughout the meeting, this was at a time when Chonbury also owned Pattaya United, the original Pattaya United. And throughout the meeting, they were constantly trying to get him interested in that. And he just wasn't having it. I think they might have been in the second division at that stage. So he wasn't interested. He wanted Chonbury or nothing at all. So I don't think they're intending to sell. They've made a few noises this week about, we'll be back. I guess a lot of this is for public consumption, isn't it? You know, there's been a statement today issued saying, you know, we're going to come back bigger and stronger. We'll learn from this, etc., etc. I think that's just bluster. I think they know what they're doing. It was interesting. I read a couple of comments on social media from Chonbury fans saying, you know, we're constantly getting apologies from the management, but they don't seem to be doing anything about it. And I thought that was quite telling as well. You know, that was coming from Thai fans. So no, the short answer is no, I don't think they'll be interested in selling, Rob.
I mean, it's a real warning shot for all clubs in Thailand, perhaps apart from Buriram United. You know, all the big four and probably Wong Thong, Ratchaburi and and lampoon with their own stadiums, they're a bit more secure. But even then, owners can change track very quickly or sponsors pull out. And I know people say, oh, why don't they invest in this and do that? Money is not massive, is it? They're not making massive money on shirts and admission fees.
No, the income's pretty low. And, you know, you do need someone to finance the club. And the money clearly is no longer there at Chonburi for whatever reason. And you're right. I mean, it could happen to any club at any time. You know, again, I quite often hark back to the fact that we were the model for what's happened in the last 15 years, without a doubt. You know, that's indisputable. I occasionally will post the opinion piece from the Bangkok Post the day after the Melbourne victory game. They were just praising us to the hilt, saying this is what Thai clubs should be doing. So yeah, it can happen to anybody at any time. It is a warning for all those clubs, you know, those middling clubs, I guess.
It is, and I guess in a way, and I don't mean this is a slight to Buriram at all. They're miles ahead of everybody in infrastructure, playing, management, recruitment. And any club who wants to try and get near them, they risk financial ruin. It's a terrible fact, but it's true. And I see more clubs doing similar things to Chonburi, you know, and developing the players, realising that they're wasting the money trying to challenge for the league. It's a sad fact, Gil, but that's how I see it.
It's very likely. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next couple of years. I mean, we're already aware that a lot of teams in T2 are struggling. So, big eye-opener, really. As much as I've expected this, and as much as I've been saying it's going to happen, it's still something that's going to send shockwaves through Thai football. But, you know, they realise that a club of the size of Chonburi, and, I still think overall we can be regarded as a big club. This has happened to them. It could happen to anyone at any time. So, yeah, totally agree.
Just to reiterate the point, the amazing away turnout for a game that was, wasn't it? It was last chance saloon. And an unlikely chance of rescuing any salvage from the wreckage. But there was still a massive turnout.
Yeah, the fan thing's an interesting one. I've noticed a real change in the makeup of our fan base. It's nothing like it used to be. It's far more sedate. I mean, you know, they get behind the team and all the rest of it. It's just not. I mean, back in the days, it used to be very passionate. You know, people go on about Pat Stadium and Thai Port. I can remember a time when, obviously, most Thai clubs didn't have any fans at all. And Chonburi were unique because we had a large following. And it used to get very feisty. You know, people say about how sterile Thai football crowds are and all the rest of it. But I can remember that, you know, there used to be some quite raffish figures used to follow the club back in the early days. They weren't afraid to give it out. Thankfully, we were doing quite well at that time. So it was very rare that they dished out any criticism. But they would, you know, they'd have a go if they thought things weren't going right. And over the years, they've all kind of drifted away. They've lost faith. You know, they've seen things and they've heard things. And that's why they've all stopped going. And it's a real shame, you know, that fan base that we had from the beginning, if you like, or the fan base that grew over the first 3 or 4 years we were in the top flight, has now been replaced by a completely different animal. Oh, you know, all credit to everyone who travelled at the weekend. But it was interesting at the end. And again, you know, we've touched on this. It is cultural. But I've got a friend who was there. He was at the match. He's half Thai. So again, he's in that very fortunate position where he can kind of see things from both sides. And he was furious at the way the fans were reacting. I mean, you must have seen the pictures of the team lining up and apologising and whying and the crowd singing. And then that's that photograph that's caused a bit of a stir. And he was saying, you know, everybody's going, oh, my pen right. And he's going, no, give them pelters. They've been awful. You know, give the management some stick. You know, I do still struggle with that. And it did used to happen. You know, this is the thing. We've become kind of sterile, the fan base has. It's really changed. You know, you've only got to look at photographs or video clips from sort of 2007 to 2009 to see the kind of crowds we were getting and the way they behaved. You know, I feared for my life in that away when all the flares were going off and all the firecrackers and everything. It did used to get full on. So, yeah, that's another thing. I mean, it'd be interesting to see how the crowds hold up next season, won't it?
Very much so. Fan culture is something I want to touch on maybe next week or the week after, Dale, because it is an interesting subject, especially ties. It fascinates me. I don't know whether it's the overall culture of the people or football copy in Europe. It's something we need to delve into, I think.
Definitely. It's a good discussion to have, I think. Anyway, I've banged on long enough. So we're going to hear now from Tim. Now, Tim wasn't there at the weekend. Thankfully, he was probably as far away as it was possible to be and still be in Thailand. But these are his thoughts on the club this season and the future.
Oh, hi Dale. Sat here with Val. We're sat on Koh Phi Phi Island after a very arduous geography year 12 field trip.
Grueling,
as Val says. And obviously not as grueling as the season that we've had as Chumbury supporters. It's been a tough year or a tough year and a half, really. I mean, I think that's probably where we've got to look. And let's just throw our minds back to 18 months ago. Chumbury were top of the table. We were looking good. And there were a number of things that occurred around that time. And the number of incidents within the club that was relatively shameful. Obviously, at the time, a lot of fans were outraged. Basically, a couple of people were killed. Some players were involved. Large amounts of alcohol being consumed. One player was sacked. One player was not sacked that was heavily involved and later returned to our club. And I think this incident has had a long-term impact onto the club, to be honest. I mean, I think, firstly, that part of the culture of the club, with senior players encouraging young players allegedly to be involved in that and to stay into the first team. And I think that's something on reflection has caused a big problem for us. It's certainly moving forward. It's something that has to go. And then, you know, I think we also had then the second half of the season last year was woeful. We had a change of manager. We brought a new manager in, Japanese guy who was like pretty professional, brought some okay-ish players in and probably one or two duds in as well. And then after about 8, 9, 10 weeks, so again, there were rumours from the players that training was too hard and that, you know, they didn't like the way he was getting them to do two sessions in a day. And this led to the parting of, well, obviously, results weren't as good as they could have been. And I certainly think the players have a lot to say in that. And obviously that led to the manager leaving the club and moving on to one of our rivals. So it has to be noted, incidentally, we went from really bad to worse. I think there are some stuff behind the scenes that we're not always aware of. But from my perspective, as a fan sitting on the sides, two things were really, really evident this year. Number one, some of our senior players, and I'm not talking about the foreign players here, I'll get onto that in a minute. Some of our senior players clearly lacked motivation. There were two or three particular that were quite seriously out of shape. Now, I'm a 60-year-old man, and I played football 30 years ago, and if I made a mistake at the back, I got back as quickly as I possibly could. I did not saunter, and I didn't play professionally. Yet we have players that are not doing that. So I think, from my perspective, I'll lay it firmly at those players' feet. Those players know exactly who they are, and they're players that are probably the most vocal, but they're the ones to blame. There's been a lot of talk about the quality of foreigners that we've had this year, and certainly from my perspective, I think they haven't been as successful as we've had in the past. One or two have definitely played quite well, but I think overall they haven't been the quality that we've been used to over the years. Now, I mean, who do we blame for that? It's quite easy to blame the player on that, but if you've got good players, you're getting rid of them and then you're replacing them with players that aren't quite so good, where is the fault of that lie? And I think for me as a fan, that lies in the people involved in the recruitment process. They're not recruiting the right type of player. And my third point is really one that is really simplistic. Football is a team game. It involves 11 players playing, moving, passing, working together. We haven't had a team of 11 players. We've had a bunch of players playing for themselves. The next issue is young players. Obviously, we've lost two of our star names to keep the club apparently afloat, to finance the youth team. So are the youth teams stepping up? In this season, we've seen quite a lot of youthful players onto the pitch. In some of the cases, there have been hits. In some of the cases, there's been a few misses. And in quite a lot of the cases, players have seemed to have played quite well and yet been strangely substituted for whatever reason. I'm really not aware... You know why? I suppose that's down to the managers. We have a right back, a very young right back, who's got incredible amount of pace and bursts forwards and you know, puts a decent cross in. Yeah, quite recently he made three good runs, all of them half chances, and then half time hold off. And he was the only player that created anything in the first half. So I think to blame the young players is barking up the wrong tree. But when you've got young players in, senior pros need to stand in for them and to guide them in the right way. Next, I think that the last game that I've just watched has summed up our season, really. What was very noticeable was decisions going against us. And, you know, there were four VAR decisions, and every single one of those could have gone either way, and every single one of those went against us. We've had that time and time again for us this season. I mean, maybe that's just me being a fan and saying, you know, VAR has gone against us and we're being a bit hard done by. I think we all, as fans, we all say that, don't we? We all think our team is harder put than others. But I think that was quite clear watching the game against Moncton. That being said, Moncton were infinitely better than Chumbury and definitely deserved to win, and to win pretty comfortable. I think they found the game quite easy, really, to be honest. So, where do we go as a club? I see the club have released a statement today. It's quite a long statement. It's quite a positive statement in the fact that they said they take full responsibility. You know, they're going to go through every part of the reason why that these things have happened. And they are ensuring us as the fans that they will do everything in their power to change it and to make sure they get promotion next season. Let's just hope that the glaring things that we all see as fans, I know I've singled out some senior pros in what I'm saying to you, Dale, but I think the club has equally done that with our foreign players this year and laid the blame on our foreign players. And I think that is actually quite shameful. It's happened in previous seasons, and that really worries me. Is there something latent behind the scenes about this? Because it's easy to blame someone else for your own shortcomings. I think you can see what I'm saying, underlying point I'm making in there. It's happened previously with certain comments and certain phrases that we've had in our club magazine that I personally have been incensed by. And we have had apologies from the club, but still, things have not perhaps moved forward in that way. I suppose, like every season, we've had ups and downs. I mean, certainly around New Year, there was a little bit of hope. Things seemed to have turned the corner. We'd won two or three games out of four, and, you know, we were unbeaten. Then the manager just starts messing around. I mean, I think this is the issue we had. The manager that we had didn't have a plan B. I mean, it's hard really to spot what plan A was, but there was definitely no plan B. And therefore, when things went awry, that meant we had no idea what to do. And here we go. Last point, arrogance. The arrogance of some of our players when they, you know, when we have had a bad loss, they stand there and saying, oh, I'm really sorry, but we expected to win. Do you expect me as a fan to buy that? No, because I don't. I don't buy that at all. That's just not a thing, is it? We're playing traps for bottom of the table next weekend. I will be making a protest on Sunday. If any of those players are in the team, I am going to personally barrack them from the start to the finish. I'm absolutely incensed, and I will go down. I'm not going to be on the top. I'm going to go right at the front, and I'm going to barrack them all the way through if those players are playing, and I'm going to let the management know. Fine if I get through and out, so that's again, they can have my season ticket. But they need to know. They need to know it's unacceptable. But after saying that, first 10 minutes, I'll be giving the team 100%. Anyway, Dale, that's it. I don't think it was too harsh. I could have sworn a lot. I mean, certainly when I was watching that game, Jesus Christ, what anyone in the defence is absolutely ever thinking of. I mean, do any of the players actually train together? do they actually spend any time? Because I've coached teams and they move as a unit. They know where the ball is. Our players don't. They haven't got a clue. So Val, what do you want to say quickly?
Tim's pretty much said exactly what I was going to be saying. Took the words right out of my mouth on all points. So I think everything's been covered. Hope you're well and see you soon.
Yeah, I feel for you, Tim, and obviously all Chambery fans. Let's hope they can regroup. If they play good football as a young side and Thwackcutt have proved it this season, there is hope. It depends how much they really want to go up. Anyway, yeah. There's been a T2 playoff, hasn't there, Dale, at the weekend?
There has, yeah. Well, was it football or was it water polo? I mean, it was one of those games played in farcical conditions, wasn't it? But it's all set up for an exciting second leg and still fingers crossed for Peapop. I still hope that they go through, but we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, it's been fascinating, hasn't it, that these playoffs. Really exciting, I think, and I'm looking forward to the weekend.
It'd be very interesting to see the size of the crowd in round next week if they continue the promotion of giving tickets away.
Yeah, there's no reason why they can't get 10,000 there this weekend.
That'd be amazing. Great spectacle for the league. And as I said earlier in the piece, you don't make a lot of money over ticket sales. You might as well have the place bouncing.
Absolutely. And I think it will be. I'd love to be. Oh, hang on a sec. That's my telephone, Rob. Hello? Oh, hi, Jan. How you doing? Oh, yeah. Rob, just a sec. I'll see if he's here. Rob, Jan's on the phone. He wants to know if you can have a chat with him about your idea for regionalising the leagues.
Is that Jan who was on to me last week? I don't want to be speaking to him. What was he talking? I thought you were going to start franchises, trading players.
Do you want to talk to him?
No, I don't.
Hi, Jan. Yeah, he's not free at the moment. Can he call you back? All right, yeah, all right, I'll get him to ring you back. All right, take care, mate. Bye. Sorry about that, Rob.
I hope he ain't holding his breath.
Hi, my name's John, and I'm listening to Thai Football Podcast.
Now, we've also got semi-finals coming up this week, so any thoughts on those?
No, they're two good ties. I wouldn't like to pick the winners. Would you like the opportunity to do your Mystic Meg?
Oh, I think it will be Buriram United against BG Patum United final.
Yeah, probably. I have to make you right. Just depends which port team turns up.
But yeah, I think that's the way it's going to go. Anyway, I was approached by someone this week and he's got an appeal. Some of you of a certain age will be aware of Subutio. And Steve is very interested in getting people from Asia to start playing Subutio and form their own leagues. And he's willing to help anyone who's keen. So he sent us this little message in just to promote what he's all about. So just have a listen to Steve. At the end of this, we'll give you details of how to get in touch.
Did you ever play Subutio? Maybe you still play Subutio with friends and family. Or are you interested in learning more about this fantastic table football game? Why not join players around the continent who are playing in competitions both within their own countries and inter-country? We're looking for players who want to give this game a go at the best level and learn more about the modern tactics and techniques. If you're interested, contact the podcast and they'll provide you with the contact details. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. That's excellent. I still play. I've got my Subutio set in Konken, so I'll be reunited with that soon. It's a game I've always loved and, of course, immortalised by the Undertones in their song My Perfect Cousin.
Indeed, if you've got a set in Konken, I can see a big match coming up. I've just won my 10th title, by the way. I've only been running it for a year, but I've won my 10th title. I wonder who I'm emulating.
That's Buriram maths, that, Rob.
Yeah, yeah. And Steve mentioned the modern techniques of the game. I do hope there's no diving, posing for photos or tifos.
VAR. Do you think they have VAR in Subutio? I think that would be the death of all things football-related for me if they introduced that to Subutio.
Well, I can think of one or two reviewers who might get one decision right when the little figures are still.
And on that note, I think that's a great place to leave it. So I appreciate it's been a very Chumbury heavy programme this week, but even if I wasn't a Chumbury fan, we would have covered it because a club of that magnitude getting relegated to the second tier is news, I think it's fair to say. So hope you'll find some football next week, Rob. It's not the same when you're not out and about watching the game. Thanks to everyone who's contributed, and we'll see you all next week.
Yeah, stay safe, everyone. Have a great week. Try and get out and about.